It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside La Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Now here's your host, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome into Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jonathan Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared, a couple of sponsors, then we'll get into that 27-20 victory by the Bulldogs over the Roadrunners last Saturday inside Joe Ice Stadium in front of a couple of people.
Yeah, there was a few there in the stands. Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 7 brought to you by Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Join the conversation. Give us a call on the Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners hotline, 888-993-7762. That's 888-993-7762. Of course, you can email your questions to radio@bleedtechblue.com, or you can use Twitter with the hashtag BTBRadio, and we'll answer your questions on the air.
Jared, I know this is a topic that you broached Saturday in the post-game call-in show about the attendance.
I did. I felt like it was a valid point.
I think it is as well. You got a game at 11 o'clock. Does it stink from a student perspective? Without a doubt. I'm guilty of sleeping through an early kickoff, I'm sure, in my days of college.
I'm not sure that you were, because 11 a.m. was the earliest kickoff in Joe Ia Stadium history.
Early kickoff for me would have been one at 1 p.m. or 2 p.m.
Okay. Understood. Touche.
I mean, we would stay up till 5 o'clock in the morning to go eat donuts at Tasty Donuts on California.
Where's that? Where was that at?
Where the donut shop is.
Where the donut shop is now. So there has always been a donut shop there, and we would stay up until they opened and have fresh donuts.
Wow.
We were wild and crazy kids. But I was disappointed big time in the attendance. They announced 18. That was generous. Tech has been pretty, I'm not going to call them dishonest about the 18 because it sounds bad, but that probably counted every ticket that was sold. I would say that there was 14 there being, and that's being probably a little generous as well.
And here's the deal. Not only was it 14,000 plus or minus a few, but that's including the UTSA fans. That includes the people that...
There weren't many UTSA fans. Let's call them 400.
Sure. I would say 400 or 500, but still, that means that you're talking about 13.5. You're in the 13s for attendance against UTSA, which is not only a quality opponent, but a game that's fun to watch every season because they play so physically. It's a chippy game. Louisiana Tech has been winning this season. Now, if it was an 11 a.m. kickoff and they're losing, then I could understand maybe why you would skip it. It was a beautiful day, a gorgeous day, perfect day for football. It wasn't cold. It wasn't raining, nothing like that. You just have to wake up a little bit earlier. It was disappointing.
Let's hear your thoughts on the Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners hotline, 888-993-7762. Why do you think the attendance was so poor Saturday? Was it beyond the 11 o'clock kickoff? Was that the reason? One good piece of news. Monday, yesterday at the press conference, the conference announces that the Western Kentucky game was going to be a kickoff of 11 o'clock. Well, you probably heard a little of explosion come from the TAC because they were some kind of upset. Everybody on the sideline that I talked to last Saturday said it'll be a 2:30 kickoff from Western Kentucky. And then Monday, yesterday, comes out and they say 11 o'clock. Somebody at the conference office broke a promise to Louisiana Tech. But Tommy McClellan stuck to his guns, stood up for the institution, and they got it changed to 2 p.m. This is the first time I can remember in Tommy McClellan's tenure that he's had to stick his neck out like this.
Sure. And, it shows – certainly shows some backbone, but also it's standing up for principle. They were told that it would be a 2:30 kickoff. And that's not only to facilitate – it's homecoming. So it's facilitating homecoming. And if you're told something, you expect it, and when you don't get it, you only have two choices. You roll over or you stand up, and Tommy McClellan showed some backbone. He stood up, and he got it changed, and I applaud him.
One One thing that I would like to see happen with those 11 o'clock kicks is it hurts whoever, whatever team is hosting the game. Yes, I went on that little rant about the attendance, but everybody's going to experience some sort of a drop-off because of an 11 o'clock kickoff. I understand kids are playing youth sports. It's hunting season. The excuse list goes on, and yes, whether excuses are valid or what, excuses are excuses. But you got to limit. I think you limit a home game you're hosting for an 11 o'clock kick to once at home and once on the road. I don't think that would be impossible to facilitate.
I don't think that it would be impossible. However, because of these TV deals, it does make it more difficult, especially when you're a school like Louisiana Tech where you really don't have any room to negotiate a TV deal or a TV time. You're going to be on TV. Your product will be put on TV. That's 2.5-3 hours of free publicity for not only your football program but your institution. I think you honestly – if you're in Louisiana Tech's shoes, you take whatever TV slot you can get. Now, unfortunately, Louisiana Tech's going to have to face two more of these 11 a.m. kickoffs. UAB will be an 11 a.m. Rice, home for Rice.
Old Dominion is too. Old Dominion's an 11 a.m. Central kick. It's a 12 p.m. Eastern kick. So, four out of the last six games
are 11 a.m.
kicks.
Central time kickoffs, including the last home game of the season against Rice. It's difficult.
The Rice one doesn't bother me as much because that one has been on the schedule. We've known the time for quite some time. It's whenever you tell people that the UTSA game is going to be an 11 o'clock kick. What was it, a week before the game?
Right, it was a week before. It was exactly 1 week.
And I understand that the Tech's going to do whatever TV says, and they should, because the marketing, the eyeball exposure, whatever television network the game is on, is invaluable. But I don't like the 11 o'clock kick. I don't think college football was meant to be played in the morning. I don't think college football was made to be played in the early afternoon, the 2 o'clock kickoff for Western Kentucky. For a homecoming game, I don't mind a 2 o'clock kick because you got some festivities, yada, yada, yada. College football was meant to be played under the lights.
Sure it was, but unfortunately,
money talks.
Exactly. Money plays a huge factor in it, and when you're talking about TV and the exposure and the money that that's going to bring, I mean, undoubtedly, it's going to affect those kick times, and you're going to have to experience some 11 a.m. kickoffs, some 2 o'clock kickoffs, some 2:30 kickoffs, and unfortunately, that's just the nature of the beast. But Louisiana Tech is not the only school facing 11 a.m. kickoffs. Every single week, there are packed-out stadiums, there are packed-out student sections on TV for 11 a.m. kickoffs. So it can be done, and Louisiana Tech is going to have some more. They're going to have a couple more attempts at it this year to try to do better than they did.
It can be done, but as a general rule across college football, 11 o'clock kickoffs are not nearly as well attended as later in the game kickoff. So it's not just a Louisiana Tech problem. It's a problem all over the country, but you know the problem exists. So remedy it, fix it, and quit making excuses.
Yeah, do something. And I expect the Rice game, the 11 a.m. kickoff for the Rice game to be much more.
You're crazy. It'll be worse.
You think it'll be worse?
Because it's a Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Boy.
Yes, it'll be worse.
I hadn't thought of that. Well, see, and this is
traditionally
me.
The worst attended game at Tech.
And what frustrates me is that last year the smallest crowd in Joe IA was right around 16,000, and that was a 4-8 football team. This team has a real chance at winning the Western Division, playing the Conference USA Championship game against Marshall, whatever the case may be. And you get five real home games this year, not four, and then one home game over in Dallas in the heart of Dallas Bowl the Cotton Bowl for State Fair. You get real home games, and you've got 13,000 people in the stands.
Hey, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Let's look at the numbers from that UTSA game Saturday. Louisiana Tech, of course, victorious 27-20. A game that UTSA scored 10 in the fourth to make the game interesting. Tech kicks the makes the field goal in the fourth quarter, makes it a two-possession game. That possession where UTSA turned it over on downs for Tech to then get in the victory formation was irrelevant if they make the field goal.
Right, right. It's
a moot point.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. At that point, it doesn't matter. Speaking of those numbers, though, Louisiana Tech was outgaining UTSA at halftime by nearly 2-1. It was 180 yards to right at 100 yards for UTSA. Yet they were trailing 10-6 at halftime, and the field goal was set up by a Nick Thomason interception. Kenneth Dixon couldn't get it into the end zone. It's 3rd-and-1. Skip Holtz, admittedly so, calls a dumb call, and they're forced to kick the field goal on that play. So it's 10-6 at halftime, even though Louisiana Tech's offense had produced at that point nearly 2-1. Now, for the game, UTSA actually beat them in total yards, 324-278, 190 passing and 134 rushing. Louisiana Tech, 157 passing, 121 rushing.
The game was won by the defense.
Oh, no doubt about it. Tech's, really, it was Terrell Pinson.
Tech's offense has been inconsistent the last few weeks. I mean, you look at the UTEP game where they scored 55 points, but the offense was dealt short fields over and over and over again.
And the passing game against UTEP still wasn't great. It just so happened that those passes that were completed were touchdowns. And this game, there was a couple of opportunities for Cody Sokol to kind of open up that offense. Couldn't quite get the ball to Hunter Lee. Couldn't quite get the ball to Carlos Henderson. Had those plays went for big yards, then maybe you're talking about a different game, but they didn't. And part of it is because Cody Sokol has not thrown the deep ball very well of late. And that's just the truth. Really, he's much better going across the middle of the field and hitting Trent Taylor and Hunter Lee for these short passes, moving the ball down the field with dinks and dunks more than anything. But you're right. The offense has been inconsistent, I would say. I wouldn't necessarily say that it's poor, but it's inconsistent, and a lot of it, maybe part of it, is because of the shuffle at wide receiver. I don't know.
I think you're looking at some, probably the biggest injury that Tech has experienced is Paul Turner. Paul gets off of press coverage. He runs great routes. He's got great hands. I mean, we saw what he did against North Texas.
Right.
That's really the only game we've seen Paul Turner come out and show out who he is.
And more importantly, we haven't seen Paul Turner and Carlos Henderson be able to play across from each other, Carlos Henderson being more of a deep threat, being more of a burner. Paul Turner, certainly a playmaker in his own right on the other side of the field. And Paul Turner had a big game a big gain in the Auburn game where he just makes guys miss. He runs really good routes, and then he's a yak guy. He's a yards after the catch guy. He's not going to run a deep route and you're going to hit him for a deep ball, but he can make guys miss after he catches the ball. And he's shifty, but unfortunately, you haven't been able to see the two paired together really.
And a lot of people were critical of maybe the play calling Saturday, and I thought Holtz addressed it pretty well yesterday when he said that they wanted to run the ball because it keeps their offense on the field and keeps Tech's defense fresh for the entire game. They were successful at that. 35 rushes for 121 yards. Kenneth Dixon, 28 for a 121. 4.3 yards a carry. That's a good night. One touchdown rushing.
That was Kenneth Dixon's 14th of his career, which is the most in Louisiana Tech history now for games rushing with 100 yards or more.
So then you look at on defense, UTSA went to a lot of man, which they had not shown all year. Tech made some adjustments. I don't think they really ever – it never completely clicked for the offense. They were expecting cover two. It didn't happen. So that was a portion of the receiving woes, only 14 catches for 157, 11.2 yards of reception, one touchdown through the air, a great throw to Sterling Griffin incredible catch by him. So there's some playmaker. There were some plays to be made on the outs at receiver. There was a couple of drops across the middle of the field. He Sokol threw away a couple so that he didn't take a sack. as much as football fans hate the term game manager, that's what Cody Sokol is.
Well, he is, and that's what Louisiana Tech needed so desperately last season. They didn't need someone last season that could really move the ball deep down the field, and they couldn't. Last year, they needed someone that could just keep control of the game, manage the game, help move the offense down the field, and not turn the ball over. If the quarterback wasn't hurting the offense, he was helping. And that's what Cody Sokol's been able to do so far this season, is make smart throws, be reliable, be dependable. And that's what Holtz has mentioned all season long. He's talked about how smart Cody Sokol is at the quarterback position. He's more of a field general. He manages the game. And regardless of whether or not people like that term game manager, it makes him sound like he's a boring quarterback or maybe he's not a very good quarterback. But honestly, that's exactly what he is, and he's done a really good job of it so far this season.
There's a lot of guys that have made very good money being game managers.
No question about it. That's absolutely correct. And when you have a running back like Kenneth Vixon and an improved offensive line and Matt Moore's second season, that's all you need. You need to be able to manage the game and lean on the run.
Now, I'll say this, the caveat to a lot of people who have been game managers and made a lot of money. Not in modern NFL football, because it's a passing game.
Sure, it is now.
Back in the Barry Sanders days, those days, Troy Aikman was a game manager.
Right. But in college football, you can still win games with a quarterback that's a game manager, specifically in this group of five. Maybe not so much in the Power Five schools, but in the group of five, you can certainly do that.
Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll talk a little bit more Utah. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7 J4, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared, a couple of sponsors, then we'll get into more UTSA talk. Actually, our friend Rafe on the Keller Williams Parish Y Partners Hotline.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 7 brought to you by Keller Williams Parish Y Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Join us just like friend of the show Rafe has on the Keller Williams Parish Y Partners Hotline, 888-993-7762. That's 888-993-7762. Of course, you can use the hashtag BTB Radio on Twitter, and we'll answer your questions on the air.
Rafe, how's it going, my man?
Going really well, really well. Hey, I have a theory on what caused the Louisiana Tech offense to look subpar this past Saturday.
Share it.
UTSA.
That defense is good.
They held Arizona their lowest point total of the year. Houston, same thing. We scored more points than Arizona. You know, Arizona's a pretty good team. I think they beat Oregon. You know, they're top 10 team. Maybe not since they lost to USC. But the point is, there's been only two teams that scored more than us against UTSA. We got to kind of a defensive battle with them, and they scored. Of course, we scored off of turnovers. I realize that, but they also scored on broken, weird, big plays. They really couldn't move the ball against us. They had to kind of fake it out or have some kind of broken play to move the ball. So, I'll take it. I didn't realize how tough they were going to be in physical defensively. And they were. I mean, they punished us a few times, as far as stopping what we're trying to do.
I agree with you. And also, you're dealing with a not a very good quarterback. Austin Robinson eventually may be okay. But he did not impress Saturday.
Well, he was getting beaten to death. I mean, that's why nobody looks good like that. I mean, Dora came back with a force, and just immediate impact guy, had a great game. I've been impressed with Thomason since I've noticed him at ULL, and there's just a lot of punishing players on our defensive side, and I think it's difficult to look good against us. And so hopefully that was part of it, because the guy is talented. He had the tools to play, but he was barely able to walk. I mean, they put the starter in, he got thrown on his back so hard that he couldn't even, he couldn't play. But what was it, one series?
Yeah, he had it, but he's coming off a separated shoulder, so it wasn't going to take much for him to get pulled.
Well, you saw what Tony Johnson, that was much. That was a much painful lick that he laid on him, and it was a clean lick, just hit him at the right time and threw him down, hard enough to re-aggravate that injury. Not that we like injuries, but, that's what happens when you go against our defense. And, as far as coming of age, it looks like our defense has. Our offense is still, we need everybody to be clicking to be good. I mean, we need Paul Turner because he's an inside receiver who's tough, and he's able, he's strong enough and shifty enough to punish, and can catch the ball in traffic, things like that. So we can't be, you know, operating at half arsenal on offense and hope things will work out. We need all those guys. But, you know, a win is a win, and there was enough plays made to win the game. Probably should have won it by a little bit more, but that's one thing we learned from Northwestern State is that, I mean, winning the game is the big gap. It's not about how many points.
I agree wholeheartedly. How do you see Saturday turning out for the Bulldogs against Southern Miss?
I was wrong about UTSA, and I really didn't research them enough. I'm looking at Southern Miss a little bit. I think that their strengths, their particular strengths, as far as passing the ball, kind of plays in our hands because they're gonna try to throw it around, and I think we're gonna be able to pressure their quarterback. I know they haven't given up a lot of sacks relatively to how many times they throw it, but I think that our DBs, the ball hawk, they ball hawk against Auburn and just barely missed on several of them. So I think that we can handle them. There'll be a lot of emotion. I think Munkin has a bone to pick with La Tech. I mean, I think that there's a little bit extra incentive for him, you know, in their blackout game and things like that. But I think that we'll control the ball, I mean, control the game defensively and have enough, if I don't know the injury report, but have enough to, you know, score enough points to hold them off. So, you know, I'll go with a more conservative 31-10, 31-17 type win.
I think you might be on target. I could see 30. I could see 37. I could even see a score very similar to this past weekend.
Yeah, I just don't think they're physical enough defensively to disrupt us to that level. I was really impressed by UTSA. They were good. I mean, they were dirty and they were strong and they never quit. And that's one thing that, you know, that's why we had to gut out that win because that team wasn't going to lay down. So I think that Southern Miss, you know, they're still a little bit young. They'll probably give up the ghost a little bit before UTSA did.
Well, Rafe, like always, appreciate the call.
All right, thank you, man. Y'all have a good one.
Rafe joining us on the Keller Williams Paris White Partners Hotline. You can do it too. 888-993-7762. Sorry, I had to get a swallow of water before I started coughing. Live radio. I was impressed with Kenneth Dixon. Yes, he's a beast, but he hasn't been able to find that much running room all year. And that was arguably the best front four in Conference USA.
Sure, UTSA's defense held Tech to the only team that held Louisiana Tech to fewer total offensive yards was Oklahoma. So it's not as though that defense was not very good. It was the best, as we kept mentioning, it was going to be the best defense that Louisiana Tech had left to play on the schedule, and was probably going to be the best team that Louisiana Tech had left on the schedule, and they played just like we expected them to. Albeit, I'll admit that I was wrong. Their defense played better than I expected them to. Louisiana Tech got off to one of its patented slow first quarter starts, like they've done all season long. But UTSA had given up 35 points off of turnovers this season. Louisiana Tech was like sixth in the country, but going into this game, around 60-something points off of turnover so far this season. They're now at like 89, first place, and they're first in the country now because they got 24 points off of turnovers against UTSA this weekend. So that defense, Manny Diaz's defense, has done exactly what we kept saying in the offseason when he was first announced that defense would do, and that's get pressure on the quarterback. But more importantly, we're talking about tackles for loss. We're talking about turnovers, and that defense has produced many turnovers.
You know, a statistic, we will get into more of these, but I pulled up the NCAA's website. One that stands out to me, fourth down conversion percentage for Tech's offense. They're eighth in the country at 75%.
Well, they were one for one this past week. Got in the T-bone or whatever it is, and Kenneth Dixon rushed it around the edge and got it.
Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we're going to have Lanny Mixon from BigGoldNation.com, the Southern Miss Rivals.com site, joining us here on Bleak Tech Blue Radio. We'll be back right after this. Night, and welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jay Ford, publisher at BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared, a couple of sponsors, then we'll get to Lanny Mixon on the Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners Hotline.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 7 brought to you by the Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse.
Lanny, how's it going, my friend?
And I'm doing well. Didn't we just do this yesterday?
We did just do this yesterday on your show, and I appreciate you having me on down there. Pine Belt Sports, right?
Pine Belt Sports Drive.
There we go. Lanny, talk about the improvements to this Southern Miss Golden Eagle offense, and it all starts up front, correct?
It really does, Jay Ford, man. If you look at Southern Miss, they've played a bear of a schedule early in the season. When you look at playing against the number one and the number four ranked team in the nation, then you play against the defending Conference USA champion, then you've got MTSU ranked, predicted to finish in the top two or three in the Eastern Division. So they really did play a pretty tough schedule early in the season. Picked up a couple of wins over a couple of teams that you really think you probably should beat. But if we've learned anything in Hattiesburg over the last couple of years, it's don't assume any victories. But you're right. The improvement has started up front. It started with the offensive line. Probably started in the Rice game is where we really started seeing some of the improvement. Didn't show up on the scoreboard in that one. A week later, went up to MTSU, gave the Blue Raiders all they wanted. Came out a little bit on the short end of the stick. Had that off week before North Texas. And then everything kind of came together against the Mean Green for Southern Miss this past weekend, and probably played their most complete game since the 2011 season.
Do you think you can look at the common opponent for Louisiana Tech and Southern Miss? The only one that I can see is really North Texas. Do you think you can draw anything from that game from between the two?
You know, I don't know that you can. Maybe you can because and the real reason I say this is North Texas had so much inconsistency. You know, they've had I don't even think the same quarterback played against Southern Miss as it played against Louisiana Tech.
No, I think they're on number three now.
So I think it'd be really hard to draw some comparisons. You know, I think what you can probably do is just kind of look at the trajectory Southern Miss is on, which they are showing steady improvement from week to week. You kind of look at Louisiana Tech, and at times they've looked really, really great, and at times they've really made you scratch your head. So, that's what makes it such an intriguing matchup to me is I'm not really sure if you can project that Louisiana Tech is on any sort of trajectory, not right now, because they kind of have had that ups and downs. They've looked really, really good at times, and they've really made you scratch your head at times.
You know, that everybody knows, and I'm sure that the Southern Miss coaches know, that the game plan for Louisiana Tech coming in is going to be to stop the running attack. I mean, Southern Miss did show that they could run the ball last week, and then once they're able to do that, if they're able to do that, they're going to start blitzing the heck out of the quarterback. Do you think that that's something that Tech could have some success doing?
Well, you know, it's one of those things that's going to be kind of interesting because Southern Miss early in the year, they didn't have a lot of success running the ball. Their offensive line, for the most part, has been much more effective in past situations than they have been in the run game so far this season. Up until the Middle Tennessee game, they really hadn't had much success running the ball. Against Middle Tennessee, it kind of fell behind early in that game, and were really kind of forced to throw the ball a lot more than they probably wanted to. But if you go back and you look at the first half of the Southern Miss MTSU game, they pretty much ran the ball at will against a pretty salty front seven for MTSU. So it's going to be really interesting to kind of see how that develops over the course of the game.
And with that passing offense for Southern Miss being the strength of their offense, you look at Tech in their national ranking of passing yards allowed at number 28, team passing efficiency defense number 33, and then of course turnover margin tied for 17th. Nick Mullins, has he showed any propensity to turn the ball over?
You know, he's had some turnovers, but I think if you know, of the turnovers that Nick has had this year, the interceptions he's had, more than half of those balls have come from a wide receiver batting the ball up in the air and allowing a defender to run under it. So Mullins hasn't been perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But if you could probably assign fault on a wide receiver for an interception, probably about half of his, you could say, really were in large part contributing to those, wide receivers batting the ball up.
Lanny, one point I want to basically done with the breakdown of the game. I think we've handled that. I found it interesting that Monken said that it wasn't a rivalry yet. Would you agree that both fan bases are kind of clamoring for a rivalry at somewhere, somehow, please, a rivalry somewhere?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt, Jay Ford, that Southern Miss and Louisiana Tech really need each other to become a rivalry. I don't think you can force it, and it would be tough to say, even though I think both of us agree that of the current makeup of Conference USA, the teams that really have a great potential to become rivals are Southern Miss and Louisiana Tech. You know, behind Memphis, Southern Miss has played Louisiana Tech in football more than any other program out there. So the teams have a lot of history. It's going to be interesting to see if it develops back into a rivalry, because even with the renewed series in football, there have been some really good games, and there have been some really close games. In basketball, I think you can already see that budding a little bit. But I think as much as anything else, both schools are just happy to have another fan base within driving distance.
Oh, without a doubt. In Louisiana Tech, I mean, they showed against North Texas, I would venture to say that 2,000 Tech fans traveled to Denton, and that's when Tech was in the WAC. That was out of the question.
Sure.
So I agree with you that it's almost like both fan bases are clamoring for it to happen. It hasn't happened yet, in my opinion. I think both teams need to get to the point where they're both vying for that Western Division crown before it truly is a rivalry.
Sure, I would agree with that.
Lanny, give me a prediction of a score prediction for Saturday.
Man, Jay Ford, you've known me long enough to know that I don't do score predictions. I only bet on dogs and horses. Because they wake up feeling the same every day. 19-year-old kid, his girlfriend may have broke up with him last night. We don't know.
That's a fact.
I'll tell you this. If both teams play to a level very near what they did this previous week, it's going to be one heck of a fun game to watch in Hattiesburg.
I tend to agree with you. Appreciate it, Lanny.
Take care, buddy.
Thanks, man. Lanny Mixon, BigGoldNation.com, joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I think he brings up some good points.
I think he does. Mick Mullins has had he has had a little bit of the turnover bug. I'm going to tell you, he's 10 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, but he's thrown for nearly 2,000 yards. This is a kid that throws the ball nearly 40 times a game.
They throw it a ton.
They throw it a ton, and they ask him to throw it a ton. And he's thrown for a lot of yards in some of these games. He threw for 460-plus yards against Middle Tennessee. That was a game that they lost. But in this previous win against North Texas last week, he threw for 305, threw for 268 against Appalachian State, threw for a little over 200 against Alcorn State, and those were their victories. But against North Texas, two interceptions. Appalachian State, two interceptions. It seems like two interceptions is his big deal. He either throws none or two.
And sounds like Drew Brees.
I don't want to talk about Drew Brees or the Saints. But
when Drew throws one, you're like, here comes another one.
But Nick Mullins has a little bit of age, a little bit of maturity to blame on it, to blame those turnovers on. And maybe he has I certainly have not watched enough Southern Miss games this season or enough minutes of Southern Miss football this season to be any kind of expert on Southern Miss like Lanny Mixon is, but maybe some of those interceptions are due to receivers batting the ball up in the air and letting a defender get underneath it.
There is one receiver, Michael Thomas, who has 4 of the 10 touchdowns. A 6'1 junior from Chicago, 6'1, 186. I venture to say that's the guy that's their playmaker on at, at, at receiver.
Right, he's averaging a little over 15 yards per catch. 24 catches, 370 yards, 4 touchdowns. So I would say so.
His long on the season happened Saturday in Denton, 40-yard catch. So he had 3 catches for 76 yards, an average of 25.3 yards a reception. So he's their playmaker the week before against 2 weeks before against Middle Tennessee, 9 catches for 114. Those are Quentin Patton like numbers,
right? And so I don't think it's too far to venture to say that that he's their playmaker on offense. But look, it's going to take more than Michael Thomas because this team is scoring 20 points a game. They're getting outscored by 2 touchdowns per game. Now, passing yards, this team's 36th in the country in passing yards, 272 yards per game. They're looking to throw it early and often, but rushing, not so much, 117th, and that's with a big for them, 201 yards rushing against North Texas. Now that team, I mean, of course they do have, they gave up 49 points to Mississippi State. They gave up 52 points to Alabama. They gave up 41 to Rice and 37 in Middle Tennessee. So their statistics are skewed a little bit because of those big point totals. But at the same time, your defense went out there and gave up those points. So
I tend to think you can draw more from that their common opponent of North Texas, maybe than Landy thinks. Yes, they're on number 3 quarterback, and if number 3 is no better than number 1 was that
or
day,
number 2. Louisiana Tech saw Dejon Williams and Josh Greer.
Dejon Williams did look good in the game at the end of the game, but that was in garbage time.
Right, that was in garbage time. Interesting to note, though, if you look at those two games, North Texas rushed for 104 yards against Louisiana Tech and 108 against Southern Miss. So that North Texas team that was meant to, you know, ground and pound and all that, not the case against these two defenses, at least.
Andrew McNulty went 20 for 35 against Southern Miss. And you look at Josh Greer went 13 for 27. So I think you can draw some comparisons. Like I said, Tech is going to pin their ears back and go after Nick Mullins. Jalen Richard, a guy from Alexandria, Louisiana, running back for Southern Miss, I believe he's going to be back this week. He doesn't have many carries on the year. He's probably their best running back. So that's something interesting to watch. You know, he's got that game probably circled for pride purposes. So that,
of course,
that'll be interesting to see. Let's take a break. Other side of the break, a little bit more Louisiana Tech, Southern Miss talk, and maybe a little bit of Conference USA football talk. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I know this song came out long before Deadliest Catch, but every time I hear it, I think Deadliest Catch.
Actually, I love this
Young
song.
Guns, buddy. You remember Young Guns with
no.
Emilio, Billy the Kid.
Emilio Estevez?
Emilio Estevez.
Is there another Emilio?
Well, I know the name.
Lou Diamond Phillips, Kiefer Sullivan. Ooh.
We're not talking about Dirty Work with Emilio Estevez or Mighty Ducks. You can count me out of all the Emilio Estevez trivia.
Was Emilio Estevez in The Breakfast Club?
Yes, that as well.
You got to mention The Breakfast Club if you're talking about Emilio Estevez.
Those three. Now, you can talk about actually 9 because of all the dang Mighty Ducks.
I did like the Mighty Ducks, I have to say.
If you didn't, you were not a child of that era.
Watch Young Guns. Young Guns too. Good stuff.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 7 is brought to you by Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Join the conversation. Give us a call on the Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners hotline, 888-993-7762. It's 888-993-7762. Of course, you can use the hashtag B2B Radio, and we will answer your questions on the air. And before we get into it, I think that may have been a record for fastest digression from a topic. We literally had not even...
You can count on me to do that.
We had not even read the sponsors yet before we had digressed.
You can count on me. Tech and Marshall, the lone undefeated teams in conference play, both at 3-0. Marshall atop the Eastern Division. Tech atop the Western Division. So, things looking up. It's kind of interesting. Points for Tech 124, points against 44, Marshall 150-51.
You know, really, if you look at that, if you look at the statistics around the conference, Marshall, number one in scoring offense, number one in scoring defense, number one in total offense, number one in total defense, number one in rushing offense, number one in rushing defense, number two in passing offense to Western Kentucky because of old Brandon Doty, and then number two in passing defense because that FIU secondary is pretty dang good, but Louisiana Tech, third in passing defense, third in rushing defense. So Skip Holtz had mentioned at the beginning of the year that defense still wins championships, meaning conference championships, and Louisiana Tech has the second best rushing defense in the Western Division and the best passing defense in the Western Division. UTSA one spot ahead of them in rushing, UTSA one spot behind them in pass, and that's ultimately was the difference Saturday in that game. The defense, particularly Terrell Pinson in that secondary, were able to do enough to get the ball back for that offense and short and give it a short field, and that defense is what won the game. And ultimately, that defense is what's winning the Western Division.
We haven't talked nearly enough about Terrell Pinson thus far, and I have to scratch my back a little bit. In my breakdown last week, I said that Terrell Pinson has been playing very well, very timely.
Absolutely. First fumble returned for a touchdown by Louisiana Tech since 2012. Returned with that one for the first touchdown of the game for Tech. And then on consecutive drives against different quarterbacks, two interceptions for Terrell Pinson. He was named the Bronco Nagurski Defensive Player of the Week in college football this week. Today was also the Conference USA Defensive Player of the Week and the Louisiana Sports Defensive Player of the Week.
You know, and something this week that I noticed is Diaz dialed up a few more blitzes. Got some different guys involved, and I thought that was an interesting wrinkle that he showed. He's not just going to bring the same guys every time. And do you think there was a little bit of he wasn't showing his cards about Vontarius Dora last Wednesday?
I think so. I think he's maybe playing coy a little bit. Vontarius Dora certainly made a big splash in his return with that big sack, seven tackles, a couple of tackles for a loss. It showed that game against an offensive line that has struggled a little bit of late. That game for Vontarius Dora showed exactly what that defensive line was missing for Louisiana Tech and just how much improved that defensive line will be going into the rest of the season if Vontarius Dora can stay healthy. Now you've got Vernon Butler and Vontarius Dora and Houston Bates, all three lining up on the regular now, and it'll be so much. There's so many different looks that you can make with just your front four having him back.
I don't think I really realized how much better Tech was with Dora in the lineup.
Agreed.
I realized that he's arguably Tech's best D lineman. He and Vernon Butler are probably Tech's two best D linemen. Houston Bates is just a savvy veteran.
Right. I agree with that as well. And plus, the way that he lines up, it's difficult to compare him to some of the other defensive linemen, perhaps, because he does do so much standing up on the edge and stuff like that. He drops back into coverage a lot more than the other D linemen do. So it's not necessarily an apples-to-apples comparison.
No, he does. He's basically playing outside linebacker.
Right, exactly. And that's really what he is. That's a position that he's playing with for that Viper position for Manny Diaz.
We haven't talked much about this either, about Terrell Pinson, that he's playing the same position Kenny Vaccaro played at Texas for Manny Diaz. When you think about the collegiate career Kenny Vaccaro had as a Longhorn, it reminds me of that last game that Terrell Pinson just had against UTSA.
Sure, absolutely. And then Kenny Vaccaro, of course, drafted in the first round by the Saints. Terrell Pinson has
having
had
a bit of a sophomore slump.
Right, sure, sure. But regardless, Terrell Pinson really has, I mean, as it's not been said enough how versatile he has proven to be. I mean, he came from, you know, he was playing offense before he came to Tech at one point, and then was on the defense as DB, and then at Tech he was a safety, and now he's a linebacker. I mean, he's played so many different positions, and Manny Diaz has been able to utilize him in that defense in a outside linebacker position, and Pinson has had some really good games so far this season.
I thought I liked how they had kind of left him to be the quarterback spy this past weekend, and Tech hasn't had a linebacker with the speed, the strength to be a spy in quite some time.
And you mentioned strength. I'm not sure that, at least in my years watching Louisiana Tech, that they've had as hard-hitting of a defense as this defense is. I mean, Xavier Woods didn't have a great game but had a big hit. Kentrell Bryce seems like he has a couple of big hits every week. Terrell Pinson has some big hits. Vontarius Dora had a big hit. This defense really, not only are they wrapping up and making good tackles, but they're laying the wood on these guys too.
Well, Chad Boyd comes to mind for me. I know that may be a little bit before.
No, I remember Chad Boyd and Jamel Johnson mostly because of the video game. Chad Boyd was the best player on Louisiana Tech's roster on the NCAA video game. He was in 86.
And Chad could bring the wood. That's probably before Kentrell Bryce is the best big hitter since Chad Boyd. So good comparison there. Linebacker wise, I thought Rafe made a really good point about Nick Thomason. I was concerned at the beginning of the year with Tony Johnson being a senior. I was thinking, what is Tech going to do? They're going to depend on these really young linebackers for next season. They'll be okay. Nick Thomason had a redshirt year last year after, I think, a shoulder injury. So he'll have his senior year to play next year. And he has really come on strong of late. And he'll fill in very nicely for Tony Johnson. Defensive line, they'll be okay next year as well. You return the majority of them. You lose two starters in Houston Bates and Devin McKinney, but your anchors of Vontarius Dorr and Vernon Butler will be back. So let's take a break and talk a little UTSA right after. Not UTSA, sorry. Southern Miss right after this break. Back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. You heard a couple of sponsors, then we'll get into more Southern Miss Louisiana Tech talk.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 7 brought to you by Keller Williams Parish Y Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Give us a call on the Keller Williams Parish Y Partners hotline, 888-993-7762, 888-993-7762. Of course, you could use the hashtag BTB Radio on Twitter, and we'll answer your questions on the air.
Been a lot more play in this one from Vegas.
Yeah, certainly so. That was one thing that was interesting to me was that the line, I believe, opened at around 13. Is that correct? And moved to 9.5 pretty quickly.
And now it's sitting about 9.5, 9 at 10 with an over-under of opened at 57. Now it's down to 55.
But last week, the line for UTSA opened on Sunday, moved again on like
Thursday.
Yeah.
Wednesday or Thursday.
Only moved once. That was it, basically. And didn't get picked up by very many people.
No, everybody had it by the end of the week.
Okay.
It just took a long time. I think they were staying away from the last week's game because of the question mark at quarterback for UTSA. But like I said, 9.5 with a 55 over under. So that's a 35-20.
Something like that, which is what that's Southern Miss is scoring 20 and giving up 34. So that's basically
right. That's my prediction right there.
35-20. That's right where they're at so far this season.
And that really puts the original line right on the money. At 13,
yeah, absolutely. That's right at, 14 points if Louisiana Tech was to cover, and they have so far this year. So, yeah, certainly so.
I was really close last week.
I don't remember what your prediction was.
It was 30 to 10 on the radio. I moved to 30 to 13 on the message board before the end of the week.
Did the listeners get to hear that?
They did not.
Then it doesn't count.
But I'm still close. Those 3 points.
Right. That's pretty good. That's pretty dang good. That's a couple of games in a row now where you've had it pretty close.
35 to 20.
I'll take your word for it.
John, let's hear your early one. We were talking about it while Jared was out of the studio. We're going to give Jared an entire segment to think about it and put all the onus on him at 7:15.
So I have to get it right at that point.
My first inclination was, 34-21.
You're right around me.
Right around that same area.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. And right around what Southern Miss has given up, right around what Vegas is saying. It would be silly of me to go anywhere else than basically right around where you guys are. But I'm going to think about it first.
I would like to see Paul Turner back this week. I think he would help the offense out immensely. We'll know more about the injury update tomorrow. Stay tuned to BleedTechBlue.com for that.
And it is a groin, is that correct, with Paul Turner? It's a groin injury.
It's
a groin injury. And listening to Skip Holtz talk about it, it's one of these things where he might feel great for a couple of days and then just feel like he absolutely cannot go. And it's not really something that you have a whole lot of, warning. I mean, you just wake up and it feels bad. That's what he's saying. But it's one of those deals where it's going to be difficult for him to overcome. It's one of those things where it's going to hurt all the time, and it's a day where you can play through it or it's a day where you can't.
And the good news is it's not the IT band anymore. That was the injury before the season started.
Right.
So that injury seems to be healed, but now it's another one. They pulled off the red shirt for Marlon Watts this past week against UTSA, and while I hate it for that he didn't play half the season, I understand it. Sanford C was out last week. Paul Turner was out last week. So you had to get a body out there.
Sure. And Sokol went to, I know someone had mentioned, maybe it was on Bleed Tech Blue message board, maybe it was on Twitter. Regardless, they mentioned that he wasn't really targeted, but it's actually not true. Marlon Watts was targeted on two big third down conversions, and each time he wasn't able to come up with it. But Cody Sokol did go.
Dare I say there was some pass interference?
Well, on the second one, there was certainly some pass interference. On the first one, maybe not so much. The second one, there was certainly some pass interference. The DB was draped all over him and was holding his right arm kind of behind him, and the referee was in a position where even if he was not blind, he still wouldn't have been able to see it. So I could see that. But he did go to him on some third downs, and I thought that was telling of the confidence that Sokol has in Marlon Watts because of practice and stuff like that.
Marlon has the ability to go up and get the ball on a jump ball situation, and that's something that Tech doesn't have on the roster right now.
Right.
So he brings something to the table, and he's going to be a player for Louisiana Tech for 4 years. He has a lot of skill. He really needed this redshirt year to gain 15 pounds, 10 pounds, maybe 20 pounds if he could. Unfortunately, he doesn't have it. It's next man up.
And we mentioned on this show that Marlon Watts, with a redshirt year with Kurt Hester, could be kind of a Carlos Henderson-type body type next season, with being able to add about 15 pounds and could really be a key playmaker for them next year. Unfortunately, that's not the case now, and so you just have to take it in stride and move on. And I do think that he will still be able to gain some weight and be bigger. That's certainly not a question. But as you mentioned, it's next man up, and he responded to the call.
I think going back to the Southern Miss game, I think Dixon goes for over 100 again, and that's where Tech's going to set the tone. Is in the running game. That's where they have to. They may rank 114 in the country in rush offense. I don't know if those numbers are. That's Southern Miss. Southern Miss ranks 114 as rush offense. That Tech is not that bad. Rush defense for Southern Miss 113, giving up 226 yards on the ground. Yes, they've played Mississippi State. Yes, they've played Alabama. So yes, those numbers are skewed. So let's bring it down 30. They're still in the 80s.
Yeah, absolutely. Louisiana Tech will find success running against that defense, but they're also going to find success passing against that defense. That defense has not stood up to the pass either. And as we mentioned earlier, Nick Mullins, while he does throw the ball a lot, and if they fall behind, they'll have no problem asking Nick Mullins to throw the ball 40 times. Louisiana Tech's secondary is very good, and they've proven to be really good against the pass so far this season, and Nick Mullins has proven that he's an interception waiting to happen.
One positive for the Golden Eagles is their red zone defense at number 14 in the country at only 71.9% of the time or team scoring in the red zone. That is very good.
Yeah, that's very good. When you think about it, it's still almost three out of every four times, but it's good. It really is good. It's hard to imagine. It's hard to wrap your head around, oh, well, they get a score three out of every four trips as being good, but really, compared to the rest of the country, that is good.
One concern would be the Tech special teams. We didn't talk about that from the UTSA game. They continue to struggle. And Southern Miss is 27th in the country in punt return yardage. So Tech's going to need to be good on punt coverage. They've been pretty good on kick coverage all year. Punt coverage, they've struggled. So that's an area to watch Saturday in Hattiesburg. You look across these statistical rankings for Southern Miss, and there's so many 110-plus rankings. It's almost mind-boggling. Defensively, they're just not that good.
No, and teams are getting around 50% against them on third down conversions. They're at 49%, so they're not being able to get off the field on third down. And then as far as sacks, they've only gotten 11 on the season. I just don't think that defense is – I think that defense still needs another year. I don't think that defense is great yet.
And then offense is going to be something to be reckoned with. This is only Nick Mullins' second season. He's got two more years in that system.
Listen to this. Southern Miss's defense has given up 93 points in the second quarter this season and 77 in the fourth quarter. 93 points in the second quarter this season.
So Tech's going to be okay if they start slow again.
Absolutely. If they start slow again like they've done so far this season, and Southern Miss is not a fast team either. They've only scored 26 points in the first quarter so far this season, but they've given up 93 in the second quarter. And Louisiana Tech, actually, Louisiana Tech's best quarter so far this season has actually been the second quarter, or actually it's the third quarter, 83 points, and then 67 in the second. So,
well, third quarter Saturday where the defense was just unbelievable.
Right. And the third quarter, a lot of people say that the third quarter will be telling of your team because the coaches have been able to go into halftime and make adjustments, and that really you can tell if you've got a competent head coach based on how your team comes out in the third quarter. Well, Louisiana Tech's offense has scored its most points in the third quarter with 83, and its defense has allowed the fewest points of any quarter in the third quarter with only 24, which is a full touchdown less than any other quarter.
I would say that Tech has done a good job of halftime adjustments. They have not done a great job of finishing games.
I can agree with that. They've been outscored in the fourth quarter by 85 points so far this season, but again, part of it was touchdowns and garbage time with ULL and North Texas. But I still agree. I think you're right. Northwestern State game.
10 points against UTSA.
10 points against UTSA in the fourth quarter. Yeah, I agree. I think that the fourth quarter has been a bit of a struggle for Louisiana Tech so far this year, and really part of it is turnovers on offense. Now, Louisiana Tech didn't turn the ball over against UTSA, but going three and out is no different. And they couldn't convert third downs in the fourth quarter, and that's ultimately what got UTSA back into that game to begin with.
I really expect Tech to lean on the running game a lot Saturday. Blake Martin should be back. Jared Kraft will be there, obviously. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see Tech run the ball 40 times.
very well. I mean, you very well may, but I still think that offense. I know they say they're going to lean on the run, and they do. You know, against UTSA, they ran the ball 35 times, but they still threw the ball 33 times. They're still going to have a pretty good balance. But now some of these run or passes that they're doing are really not much more than an extension of the running game with the, you know, really quick slants or screens. I know some were concerned that Louisiana Tech didn't take advantage of the middle of the field against UTSA more. Go back and watch that game.
They targeted it plenty.
They targeted the middle of the field quite a bit. Now, you may not have been able to tell just how often it was when you're at the game, although I don't know who's listening that was there. But they targeted the middle of the field a lot more than you thought. Go back and watch that game, and they really that UTSA defense did a pretty good job of covering those passes across the middle of the field.
And like Rafe said, that UTSA defense is pretty good. The front four, I don't know if Tech will see another front four like that.
No, I agree. I don't think they will.
The DNs were good.
Absolutely.
How Tech was able to get out of there without a sack, I think that's a tribute to honestly Cody Sokol getting rid of the ball and not giving up a sack.
Yeah, that. And once again, Matt Moore in his second season as the offensive line coach has done a good job with that offensive line. That offensive line has been good this year. They've been an unheralded group, but I think they're better than most expected them to be. I think they'll be good again next year.
Yeah, you look at next season, you return Darryl Brown, you return Kirby Wixon, you return Joseph Brunson, you return David Mahaffey, who's played a good bit.
Shane Carpenter will be there.
Transfer Derek Edinburgh from LSU will be available. So the offensive line could be really good next year. It really and truly could be. So let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll close out the show, recap, and Jared's prediction. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Jared, a couple sponsors.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 7 is brought to you by Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Give us a call on this last segment on the Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners hotline, 888-993-7762. That's 888-993-7762. Of course, you can use the hashtag BTB Radio on Twitter, and we'll answer your questions on the air.
Well, Jared, give me your thought process on the game. Where do you see the key matchups being, and some places where Tech has some reason to be concerned?
I do think in the passing game, maybe Louisiana Tech should be at least. Well, I guess they should be somewhat concerned with Nick Mullins, because Southern Miss has proven that even whether they're ahead, whether they're trailing, whether it's early in the down or if it's third and long, they're going to pass the ball with Nick Mullins. And Nick Mullins has not done a bad job this season. He's completing 60% of his passes. He's thrown for 1,900 yards. He's averaging 272 yards per game. He's thrown 10 touchdowns. He has thrown 8 interceptions. He's got a couple of receivers that are 300-yard receivers. Casey Martin has 37 catches for 309 yards, 8.4. per, and if you go back and look, most of Martin's receptions so far have been short possession passes. He's more of a possession receiver, and then Michael Thomas, who we mentioned earlier, will open that offense up a little bit. And
but they have thrown the ball to a lot of different receivers.
They've thrown the ball to a lot of different receivers,
which is something Louisiana Tech absolutely without a doubt cannot say.
That's true. Cody Sokol throws the ball to three guys. He throws the ball to Hunter Lee, Carlos Henderson, and Trent Taylor. And if it's third down, Sterling Griffin. And Sterling Griffin has one route. And it is a good – I mean, it's a great route. It's his favorite route, and he does a good job.
He ran a different route for a touchdown.
He did. You're right. He did run a different route for a touchdown. But I wouldn't say that
a seam route.
I wouldn't say he was open, but it was a great catch.
Oh, my gosh. Was it a catch?
It was a great catch, but I wouldn't say that he was open, because he was not open. And he not only was he not open, he wasn't looking for the football. But
well, he obviously was looking because he ended up catching it.
He somehow or another, right before it got to him, turned his head and then threw his hands up and caught it. It was almost like it was just reactionary more than anything. But if your reaction is to catch a touchdown, that's a pretty good reaction. Regardless, Sterling Griffin does one. He does have a great route for that comeback route for the first down on any third and long Louisiana Tech will face.
One concern that I have for Tech is going forward, not necessarily this week. It's really every week is how often Cody Sokol's football that he's throwing is batted down at the line of scrimmage.
He has had so many passes batted down or batted up and then intercepted.
He's got a three-quarter release, and I think that has a lot to do with it.
I would venture to say that most of his interceptions have been on tipped balls this season.
Probably whether by Tech or by another player.
Right. Well, by the defense. But you're right. I agree as well. And you're right. It's that three-quarter, you know, not sidearm release, but certainly not.
And he's not a giant.
No.
He's 6'1".
He's 6'1". He's not much taller than I am. So I do agree. This week against Southern Miss, I'm not sure that it's a major concern. Southern Miss's defensive line is not that tall. They do have a couple of big guys in the middle, but they're not that tall.
Yeah, I don't necessarily worry about it this week, but going forward, it's something to talk about. And something that Tech hasn't done is roll him out much.
Right. There's not been a lot of bootleg. You would think that maybe especially against in the Auburn game, a couple of passes, you know, on consecutive drives, he's getting ball swatted down at the line of scrimmage, and you think maybe you'd roll him out and try to get him, you know, to the outside a little bit where he's not behind all those guys and throw it, and they didn't do that.
But if you see it at practice, they don't do it either.
So maybe it's just not in his.
It's not in the scheme.
I guess not.
And I mean, you can't really argue with the record right now. So, yes, there are some balls getting batted down at the line of scrimmage, but we're splitting hairs at this point. But that's what we do on radio, is split hairs. I think that Tech will have the ability to move the ball. Can they capitalize on it and not have drives stall, not have untimely penalties, which have been an Achilles heel this season? That's something that Coach Holtz has talked about a lot, is untimely penalties, false starts, holdings, the like. Speaking of penalties, how bad were those officials Saturday?
Oh, they were – boy, they were abysmal. It was so bad.
Same white hat from the Northwestern State game, though.
Oh, it was so, so bad. And on both sides, they weren't even
– No, it was. Agreed. It was both sides.
It was both sides. I mean, in the first half, the – calls may have went a little more towards UTSA, but if you rewatch that game, there were a couple of plays there where it was dangerously close to getting out of hand and the referees losing control of the game completely.
My dad texted me after the game was over and said the referees went to sleep in the second quarter, and it really is a good analogy.
Yeah,
They lost control of the game in the second quarter.
They did. I totally agree. That was one of the and of course, if you're a fan, you could probably complain about the refs every week, but this week was legitimate. This week was a legitimate gripe.
I have some of my friends who it's become a joke between us because I'm always complaining about officiating.
Right.
I am always complaining about whether it's basketball, football, tiddlywinks. There has never been a good referee, in my opinion.
Yeah, if you follow him on Twitter, @TheJFord, you'll get lots of officiating tweets.
I just don't know how you can go about a job and not do it well and still be – it's not like they're refereeing junior high football.
Referee is a meteorologist, man.
I never even thought
a meteorologist
that.
Yep. Might be more – they may be more – they may be more right more consistently than referees.
One of the calls that a lot of fans were up in arms about, the block in the no block in the back on Jens Danielsen on the punt return, I don't have a huge issue with that no call. Unless there was one, I think you tweeted it, about it being on Mitch Villamez. I didn't see that.
Right, there was one on Mitch Villamez, and there was also, I mean, Kenneth Dixon might have done a little flop. He might have sold it a little bit, but he's out of bounds.
That was a big flop.
It was.
It was LeBron James-esque.
It was, but the referee standing there reaching for the ball from Kenneth as he gets up, and the guy pushes him in the face mask after he's already laid on him out of bounds much longer than was necessary.
That happened a lot.
And the referee just stands there, watches it as he's reaching out for the ball and doesn't do anything.
The worst call of the day, Kenneth Dixon's going out for a screen pass, and a UTSA defensive lineman tackles him. before the ball is even thrown. Worst call of the day. Without a doubt.
There were many to choose from, that's for sure. It was bad. It was really bad. And I'm not sure how often Conference USA reviews the officiating or anything
like that.
Every week.
I mean, every team reports plays that they disagreed with every week.
Well, they had a lot. They had a lot of paperwork to file for that game.
Tech's video coordinator was busy Sunday morning cutting up bad calls.
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, one
gift of a penalty was the pass interference they called on the pass that Eddie Johnson got one hand on. What? I don't even think the ball was to Eddie. I think he's just so big.
He reached up and kind of got one of his mitts on it.
I think it was meant for Trent behind him. Now it's time for your prediction.
Yeah, we're getting
well, I could rant about officials for an hour and a half every Tuesday.
We're getting close to the end of the show here. We've got about 3 minutes left. Like you said, Vegas has this game at 9.5. It opened at 13.5, somewhere right around there. This Southern Miss defense is not they're not very good, and I do think that the Louisiana Tech defense is good enough to stop this Southern Miss offense, particularly the passing game. They're not a great rushing team. I think that Southern Miss will score 17, which is a little bit less than you and John predicted. And I think Louisiana Tech scores right around 34-35.
You may be right, because Tech's offense is not great.
Tech's offense is not great, but they're going to have the ball enough to put up 34-35 points.
And I did pick 35-20, so we're right there. I wouldn't even be surprised if it's a 30-20 game.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that as well. I think Southern Miss is going to score. I mean, they'll score. I don't think they're going to be able to score enough on that defense to keep it close. Or, I mean, it'll be respectively close, but it's never in question.
Well, let's end it here. Good show, fellas. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. Come check us out. 7-day free trial. You won't be disappointed. For John Tabor on the ones and the twos, Jared King, the editor of the Louisiana Tech Sport Tech Talk.
The Tech Talk.
Check him out on campus.
Yeah, and after every Louisiana Tech football game on the First National Bank postgame call-in show on Z107.5.
He's your guy. He's our guy. We'll be back same time next week. See you then.
You've been listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio with Jonathan Ford. Listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio every Tuesday at 6 p.m.